On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we talk about how Darren Waller was on Bussin' with the Boys and had a lot to say about that. ESPN hates the Raiders' young talent. Max Crosby is unblockable. And Rob Ryan mic'd up is glorious. And we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto. Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. You and Rory got the Hall of Fame game post-game stuff done. Excellent. So now it's like officially preseason time, which...
Yeah, for everybody, yeah.
For everybody, right? So we're starting to get kind of tingly. I know what you're wondering. RJ, why aren't you wearing your Raiders hat? This is kind of weird. Well, I have a good reason for it because I got a new game day hat, baby! Hat in the house! Courtesy of Mrs. Clifford.
Take the tag off. What's the matter?
New game day. Nope. I got two tags on the bottom. I got the tag on top.
You got two tags on top.
Game day hat. Full effect, new season. Let's go! Let's
ready.
Go!
That's a pretty sweet hat, I'm not going to lie.
So the wife was actually pretty clever because we're going to go to a couple. We've already planned a couple away games we're going to go to because we're going to visit family and it all kind of works out. So there's some away games we're going to go to. And she's like, it looks like you could be incognito. Like you're obviously be wearing like a Raiders shirt or jersey or sweater or whatever. But like it's a gray with like a gold emblem. So it's... It looks sharp, looks kind of country, and you kind of have to like double look at it to make sure it's Raiders, right? It's not like your hat, right? Black,
yeah, fucking
just big Raiders,
black,
right? Like it's a giant neon sign.
Doughboy from fucking Boys in the Hood hat.
Yeah, like with this one, I can get into the Titan Stadium kind of incognito a little bit until I start talking shit.
Yeah, until something good happens for the Raiders and you start jumping up and down. Like, oh, yeah, I'm the Raider fan over there.
Yeah. Well, they'll know who I am quickly, but on first glance they're not gonna know. Anyway, I get a new game day hat, a hat that's only worn, it was only worn during game days, and now I wear it for podcasts because podcasts is like when I do Autumn Windbags, it's a game day. And so you know, the next hat goes down the line, and that's now like a work hat or random hat, and this is my uniform.
Gotcha.
This is my cover.
Looks good, man. Looks good on you.
Thank you, appreciate it. So mic'd up from the Raiders came out, and they did
best one.
Rob
best
Ryan,
best person to put on.
I highly recommend you guys check out the entire thing. We'll link it in the description. But here's just like less than a minute of it. Just a little teaser, just a little taste.
We're gonna need a new post.
Are you hot mic right now?
Yeah.
Mic.
You see? Hey, well, get out of my face.
What?
Let me see if we can lift him. Oh, no, just kidding. I'm talking about it. Walking out. Uh-oh, there we go. I got you. All right, here we go. It's going to be a good drill. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Try to name a coach in the NFL with better hair than you. Don't
worry.
Boy,
that'd be hard. That'd be hard. That would be difficult. Here we go. Go get him. All right, here we go. Here we go.
Yep. Right here.
Okay. Good. Hey, you almost knocked my mic off now. Guys, come on now. Trying to sell this video. Can't be knocking my mic off.
What? Just the wild white locks flowing. The boiler, the size of Texas, gut out.
Jesus, what the fuck? Dude,
run from drill to drill.
Rex didn't hit him up with that freaking discount code for Weight Watchers or whatever.
He looks like he's wearing a fat suit.
He looks like an apple with two toothpicks for legs. That's what he looks like.
He looks like a guy from The Sopranos. They're like, all right, we've got to make this guy look fat as hell. Like, he looks like a fat suit. Like, it doesn't look like real fat. It's awesome.
It's just all beer. That's beer gut.
Yeah, it doesn't go to his arms or legs or face. It's just all in the boiler.
You know what's weird? It seems like the Ryan boys like to sell videos. He said, oh, yeah, I'm trying to sell this video. Mm-hmm. Well, Rex's was about his wife's feet.
Yep.
So that's a connection. You know, you see twins and you're like, you know, they're kind of the same a little bit, but they're a little bit different.
Yeah.
Well, you know, now we know.
I think the part of mic'd up that they didn't see was like, hey, Crosby, let me, you know, take off your cleats. I want to see your footwork, but, you know, without cleats on, I want to really see like the angle and the moves. Here, let me get a real close up. We'll videotape it together and we'll go over your footwork drills later. I think they edited that part out. Like that's part of the Raiders only fans.
I think they want the you know, directly related to football. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That makes sense. So that got us thinking because when you're the senior defensive assistant, you don't really have a responsibility. You're just kind of like, they pay you to hang around. You know what I mean? You're just awesome. And they're just like, all right, I want this guy in my facility. Let's give him $350,000 a year just to be here.
You know, you talk about the hair. What better just assistant / whatever coach would you rather have on your sidelines when things are going well?
Yeah.
Just running up and down. When he was our defensive coordinator a few years back, he was freaking chest bumping all the players and headbutting them and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, he slowed down a little bit, but not a lot. Not a lot.
He didn't slow down that beer drinking. I'll tell you that. That gut is intense.
Bullshit. I want him exactly how he is. So that got us thinking of our question of the day. We'll post it down in the comment section. Pinned.
How much beer can Rob Ryan drink?
I don't think there's enough zeros on our keyboards. So which Raiders player, coach, or employee do you want to see mic'd up next? Because I didn't know how bad I wanted to see Rob Ryan mic'd up until I saw it.
It's got to be Mark Davis, dude. It's got to be Mark Davis.
Mark Davis, right?
Oh, it's got to be. Just for an interesting listen. Because it's like, I hear him talk a little bit on interviews, and he's like a regular dude. And then when he's like all jacked up, and like he's like a geek, you know, he's all jacked up. Like, yeah, we got him. We got him, Raider Nation. Like when he was introducing Ziegler and McDaniels.
Yeah,
I'm like, Jesus, this guy, I want to hear what he's saying like throughout the day.
I want to know what his Buffalo Wild Wings order is, you know, because, you know, he ain't ordering caviar and like surf and turf.
You think it's like lemon pepper, or do you think he's like a traditional Buffalo or barbecue guy?
Or he's like, hey, I want P.F. Chang's, but don't go to the bad one. Go to the good one on Rainbow. Like he knows are the good ones, you know.
Yeah.
It seems like a guy that would know the good P.F.
Or maybe he combines the two and he says, let me get the wings, but let me get like the Asian spice wings.
Mm-hmm. Sweet and sour, the mustard.
Love it.
He knows what's up. So that's the question of the day. Which Raiders player, coach, or employee do you want to see mic'd up next and why? So Darren Waller, our phenomenal, fantastic Pro Bowl tight ends, coming off an injury season, ready to kick things up a notch. Basically a contract year, even though he does have 2 years left on his contract. There's no way he's playing next season with no guaranteed money, you know, just kind of floating in the wind, right? So it's more or less, I consider it a contract year. And so many NFL players, Soto, would be disgruntled, pissed, pay me. That's all I want to talk about. Darren Waller went on with our boy Will Compton on Busting with the Boys. And that's not the clip that we're showing, but I just want to say, like, Compton tried to bait him a little bit. He, like, asked in his contract. You know, like,
he asked him.
What he asked, like, Will, you know what his contract is. But you're just, like, he's, like, trying to get him fired up. He's like, yeah, so, like, maybe next year, like, you know, they're going to pay. He's like, yeah, you know, we'll worry about it next year, right? Like, I'm just focused on training. Like, Waller was not taking the bait, right? Not even bothering with it. But he said two really, really interesting things. I know you haven't heard this yet because the interview, we're recording this Wednesday night. It just came out today. Two things, one on the red zone and one on Derek Carr. Here's the red zone one. Pay attention.
Like, and he crafted like his own little red zone role. Like they were just kind of like throwing it to the goalpost over the middle of the field. Cause like me, you know, there's a lot of times in the past couple of years where I felt like I didn't have like, it wasn't like a clear defined attack in the red zone or like a plan for me specifically. I felt like it was just kind of like, what the fuck am I doing sometimes?
Yeah.
But now I kind of feel like that's something that's in place with Josh and developing just off of this offseason alone. So it's kind of asking him about how did your role in the red zone come about? Because that's a big thing. Like,
yeah.
Like for me, like there's no reason why my big ass shouldn't be, you know.
Oh yeah, bro. I'm
dominating in the red zone at all times, you know?
No shit. No effing shit. You're 6'6", super athletic, incredibly intelligent, great route running ass, should not be just dunking on these 5'8" cornerbacks in the red zone.
Fuck 5'8". Even if you're 6 foot, you're still like 6 inches, 5 inches shorter than him.
Yep.
You know, I said it a billion times. Whenever we get in the red zone, we have to throw a ball to Waller at least once. That should be at least one time we have to throw. Like, you know how Al Davis said, within the first three plays or first five plays of the game, the quarterback must go down. He must go down hard. Well, within the first three plays in the red zone, we got to throw the ball up to Waller.
Yeah.
It's got to be done. Put everyone else and their grandma on one side and put Waller on the other. Get him a good matchup and let him do his business.
Dude, just how about, like, you just bunch everyone in, like, you bunch everyone into a jumbo formation, right? We've got Jacobson. We've got Jacobs in the back. We've got an extra tackle. We've got Foster in there. We're just loaded up in the box, 10 players, and then Waller out wide. Who do they put out there? No one that can cover him one-on-one. That's for effing sure. And if they try to double him or like sneak guys over in zone, you're lighting the box.
Over and over and over and over. Gruden does not flex to things he has to have. You can't say, oh, well, let's throw a jump ball to Waller. It has to have a play designed to do that. He can't just be like, all right, let's just do this.
I don't make plays for players. I get players for my plays.
Exactly.
Been over that 100 times.
And it's just, it's, well.
And you, and you know how frustrating it is when someone like Darren Waller, I think that's the first time I've ever heard him complain about anything. Like,
and he was complaining like he was just fed up with it too. He's like, oh, yeah. What the hell am I doing? What the hell am I doing out here?
I don't think I've ever heard Darren Waller complain about a single thing. Never.
Hunter Henry can catch 9 touchdown catches.
Yeah.
In a season with, you know, Mac Jones throwing him the ball.
You know how frustrated he is when he's actually voicing a complaint. And it literally had to be with a coach that's not there anymore. And also acknowledging the new coach is turning things around. Like, I'm already seeing, even in just one off season, how much better I'm going to be in the red zone, right? Like, that's, he had to be that frustrated to bring it up in a public atmosphere. Cause that Waller never complains.
It's just ridiculous. It just shows you why you should have more optimism. If you're not already optimistic about this season coming up offensively, the red zone issues that we have weren't personnel wise. It was a lot of,
conservative play calling
and not taking advantage of the tools that you have on your team. And this is one of the reasons why that's one of the reasons why I like this new edgier Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. Cause I don't know that the old Derek Carr with Gruden in the building would be saying stuff like that. What Waller is saying now. Yeah. I don't know that he would, cause everyone knew in the building, like if Waller was saying it, everyone was thinking it. And
this is what I at least hope for. At bare minimum, the obvious issues should be taken care of, like going to Waller in the red zone, right? Like, there's, you know, Josh McDaniels and John Gruden have forgotten more football than we'll ever know. Right? I'm down for that. Mm-hmm. But there's still some super obvious shit from the Gruden regime where anyone who's watched 3 football games, it's like, well, you've got that 6'6" stud and you're just throwing Jacobs into a full box 3 times. I mean, ooh. I'm no super genius, but I feel like we got another option here.
It's ego. Mm-hmm. We didn't win because the player made a special play. We won because I designed that play. Mm-hmm. That's the ego. That's the level of ego that John Gruden has. And it served him well. He was a Super Bowl winning head coach. He was a head coach at three different times. He was being given the keys to the kingdom of an NFL franchise. Not many coaches can say that. And, you know, like you said, he's forgotten more football than we've ever known. But his ego got in the way. He wanted them to score because of his play call, not because of a great individual effort by a player.
I wonder how much Josh McDaniels has focused on Waller in the red zone versus, I wonder if McDaniels actually has already displayed that playbook to Waller, or if just emotionally McDaniels has confirmed to Waller that it's going to be a priority, right? I wonder, because humans are emotional creatures, right? I can really feel like I feel that Josh McDaniels is going to make good use of me, or he could have physically shown me the playbook and we could have ran those plays and made it a priority.
Yeah.
There are two different things that can make Waller say the same thing.
You know, from what we've been told about how Josh McDaniels did his kind of onboarding, he would ask the player, what do you think? What do you like? What do you feel comfortable with? What are you wishing for? And stuff like that. I would say, I mean, if I would be kind of like trying to look into that room, I would say that Josh McDaniels pulled open a playbook that he already had. And like, these are my red zone plays. This is what I want to do with you. This is what I see you doing. What do you like? What are you comfortable with? Where do you like to line up?
This
is
all the shit I did with Gronk.
Yeah, these are all Gronk shit.
Fit, and where do you want to fit it? Where do you want to change it?
I see Waller closer football-wise, goddammit. Don't twist my words around. More like Aaron Hernandez. He's a much more athletic, not as much of a blocker as Gronk was. See that? Now you're starting to make something that's not. But yes, I see him.
But yes, he does.
Yeah, play-wise, yes.
All right, real quick before we move on to the next one. Who gets more targets in the red zone next season? Jaren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, or Davante Adams?
I still think it's going to be Davante Adams one, just because of the – everyone's been saying how good the connection is just like college with Carr. But I do think it's going to go – out of those three, I would say Devontae one, Waller two, and then Hummer three.
God damn, that's a beautiful sight when Hunter Renfrow is your number three option in the red zone.
He'll be wide. He'll be wide open a lot, but we'll still score.
Oh, oh! You have to throw this chair out. I'm so wet. So Darren Waller also continued talking about his relationship with Derek Carr. Take a listen.
How would you describe your and DC's relationship?
I don't think it could be any better. You know, it's one where we talk like real life stuff or just like everyday stuff and can joke, but then like on the field, it's like, you know, he wants me to do something different. He can tell me, and though I won't get in my feelings, and then he'll be the first one to be like, oh man, I could have made that throw better, or you know, oh, I'll get it up higher, or I'll get it there quicker. Like, so it's like one where we can share information and say something where the other one doesn't feel like we're attacking each other because we actually like each other and talk to each other. You know,
just example 9,342 on how well wired this locker room is and the advantages that come with it. And it's not just hippie feel good. Oh, it's so nice that they're buddies and they hug each other and, you know, they sing to each other on their birthdays.
It's
like,
not always kumbaya. He even said,
it's not always kumbaya. But when you have that relationship, you can have the hard conversations. I can go to, hey, Derek, you're fucking up. Like, I've been wide open, back-to-back plays. There was no pressure. You got to pay attention. And Carr's not going to take it personally. He's not going to cry about it. He's like, well, fuck you then. I'm going to throw it to Renfrow now. It's like, okay, you got it. We're boys, so we can talk that way to each other, right? Like, the people I fought the most in my life are the people I love the most. My brothers, my boys, and my training partners. Like, those are the people I fought the most because those are the ones I love the most, right? And we work it out at the end of the day. So this the relationship that they have, it's not just a feel-good story, not just like, hey, look, kids, you know, look how well the team is. It's like, no, it has actual tangible benefits, multiple of them, and one of them is you can be honest. You can be 100% honest with someone that you love and care about. You don't have to protect their feelings. They don't have to protect yours. You can be honest because the foundation is there. And you don't have to tiptoe around the tulips with it.
Yeah, you can be honest. You can be just straight up. And there's no misinterpreting what you're trying to say. Because you can be as true as you want because you know everything is coming from a foundation of respect.
And a common goal.
Yeah, we're all going to do the same thing. We all want the same thing in the end. That's why you and I can get in each other's ass all the time.
Yeah. That's why I can berate you ceaselessly, like nonstop.
And you do.
It's always that way because my family, so I'm the oldest of six kids, right? Two parents, six kids, family of eight. And we're super competitive and love games. So we'll play catchphrase, cards, and like family together, like, you know, and these are the people I love the most. And we are at each other's fucking throats. Playing dominoes, right? Like we are trying to disrespect each other. We're talking shit. And every time I like, cause my wife's been with me forever, so like she's numb to it. But like anytime a sibling brings around a new boyfriend, new girlfriend, new husband, fiance, whatever, they're just like, I can't believe the way you people talk to each other. Like, you guys are family.
Like, so I've known you for, I knew you for a long time before I went over for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I knew what to expect. RJ was getting married, and RJ had a decathlon or something like that of games for his brothers to play to see who would win his best man title.
It was called May the Best Man Win. And instead of an engagement party, we did a May the Best Man Win. And I knew my best man was going to be one of my brothers, but how do you pick them? Right. Exactly. Like, I can't pick them by the amount that I love. I pit them against each other in the highest stakes possible.
And it was legit. They were legit going after it. It was hilarious.
Colin was the underdog. I thought he was easily the biggest underdog.
He had the most grit. You could tell. Yeah.
Well, he wanted it the most.
He had a game face. You could tell right away he was the one who was going to.
And he was strategizing. Like the other two were just kind of like, Jeffrey walked in like, because he's the one with the master's degree and a pretty smart guy. So he's like, all right, I got this. And Michael's the better athlete, wrestled in college, same as me. Yeah. And Colin was like the artist, you know, but dude, he strategized. He's like planning moves. He was playing chess when my other brothers were playing checkers.
He had the best cheerleader too. Screaming.
Yeah.
Let's go, Colin. I was like, yes, yeah.
So that's the beauty of a tight family, right? You can pit them against each other in a battle of the highest stakes, and you all love each other at the end. And you can tell each other, hey, let's need to work on this, or I need to work on that. And we will. Cuts a lot of bullshit.
Yeah, it's a good thing to see when it's across multiple position groups. You heard about Derek Carr. You heard about the defense. You heard about Max Crosby talking about the defensive line. Max Crosby talking about the secondary. Some of the secondary guys talking about each other. Even, Divine Diablo getting in everyone's ass last year as a rookie. And everyone seems to be fine with that. So it's good to hear it going across different lines, not just one or two different people you hear all the time.
So the headline today was an addition to the wide receiver room. Chris Lacy signed in as a free agent. And if you're wondering who the hell is Chris Lacy, you're not alone. He last appeared in a regular season game with the Lions all the way back in 2019 with the Cowboys and Bears for a little bit. And now he's a Raider. But if I'm Chris Lacy, I have to be fucking jacked that I'm joining this wide receiver room. I mean, think about it. Like, what better place to be than with these studs? Like, look at this wide receiver room. Just look at it. Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfro, DeMarcus Robinson, Hollins, Cole, Johnson, and then you're Lacy learning from these studs. If I'm an NFL agent and I've got some guys, practice squad dudes, on the bubble type wide receivers, I'm begging to spend some time with the Raiders. I may not make the squad, but what a great learning experience to be in this crew.
Yeah, man, he's a young guy. I mean, honestly, I thought he was a DB.
And I thought he was a running back.
He's a DB, right? Yeah. I think you were thinking Eddie Lacy. But yeah, I'm like, oh, he's a DB, right? Let me think. And I looked at him, I'm like, he's a receiver. Oh, okay. He's got a long way to climb. He's got a lot of guys up there.
Yeah.
But honestly, when you come from a new – a new head coach, you know, you're looking for specific things for guys. Like I talked about last week, if you're on the third, fourth string guy, like just, you know, fourth, fifth wide receiver, they're not looking for like a well-rounded guy. Okay. Yeah. Cause if you're that low, you're probably a pretty low across the board. They're looking for you to do one thing really well.
Yeah.
And we'll see what that is. He obviously got him in for a reason. And we'll see what that is. But right now, I'm feeling a lot more confident about our wide receiver room, looking at how some of them performed in the game.
It's arguably the best wide receiver room in football.
Yeah, it's not just top heavy. We got some depth here. And I don't know. I think that with the way that Josh McDaniels puts people in positions to be successful. Like I said, you can have those 1, 2, 3 guys that are kind of like across the board type of guys. But then, you know, hey, Tyron Johnson's got that one thing he does well. You know, DeMarcus Robinson got that one thing he does really well.
DeMarcus Robinson and Mac Hollins are probably starters in like maybe half of the NFL teams, right? Like a number, you know, number three receiver, something like that. One of them is barely going to play. Right? Like that's the depth that we have. And honestly, depending on what kind of offense we run, if we run a lot more 21 or 22, they may barely play. Like, honestly, I think I'd rather have Foster Moreau as our, you know, our quote unquote number three wide receiver, right? I'd rather have him and Waller on the field for most as a kind of like our base formation, as opposed to like a Robinson or Johnson or Hollins. So, but you put it exactly perfectly. They all add a piece, right? Robinson is the straight line speedster. Johnson's the kind of like speedy little speedster.
Like scat back type.
Yeah. Hollins is the big X kind of like possession dude. Like they all have very specific roles, and that's how Josh McDaniels runs his offense, right? He wants to have guys have specific roles or just be the best of the position, like Devontae.
Do everything.
Yep. God, I love our wide receiver room. I can look at that thing all day long.
Easy. Let's get a hand check here.
Just right, enjoy. Just enjoy.
Let's get a hand check. Where are those hands at?
So ESPN, we're in the dog days of summer, right? August, basically only baseball and Little League World Series. And that's it, right? And UFC. That's it. That's all there is. And so you got a lot of rankings and stuff. And ESPN's getting real creative because you can only list like the top 10 best quarterbacks so many times. They went with the best, or they ranked all 32 NFL teams by quality of their 25 and under squad, right? The best young players. And they did it just 25 and under. And they weighted it like if you have a great quarterback, that means more than having a great guard, right? So they weighted it that way. The Raiders, I didn't think would be very high on the list. So I was kind of reading it. I was sifting through it, and I'd stop at like AFC West teams or like teams that we're going to play. I'd stop and read it. I'm just sifting through it down, 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 down. I got all the way to number 29.
Yes, sir.
Before the Las Vegas Raiders showed up on the list of NFL teams with the best 25 and under players. And it's hard to argue. Under blue chip players, they listed none.
Zero.
Zero. Not one blue chip under 25. Now, in a little bit of fairness to the Raiders, they have a notable graduated player. So guys that had just turned higher than 25, right? 26 and older. And it's a good squad. Max Crosby, Jonathan Abram, Bilal Nichols, John Simpson, Andre James, Clay Farrell, Foster Moreau. Right? So that's a good squad. So yes, we certainly blew some drafts and it cost us some young talent, but we've got a lot of guys just kind of right on the bubble. And how big of a difference is 25, 26 when you're considering youth on your team?
Yeah. I mean, it's gotta be a hard line if you're going to make a list. Cause if you say, well, young guy, okay, well, what's young? Okay. Then you have to define it, right?
Before
you can make your terms, you need a number. But that 2020 draft fucking murdered us. It killed us. We don't have hardly anybody from that draft.
This is the best example. The only reason I like this list and brought it up, because there's a million lists we could have talked about, is this is such a great example of how bad those drafts kicked us in the dick.
Yeah, man.
Things like this.
And it's like, we have to understand how these drafts round out your roster. And we could really use some help at this position. Well, it's because we're so poor because the person we drafted either isn't on the team anymore.
Yeah.
Or they're not in the league anymore. Okay. So that's why you have to go out and you spend more than you want to on maybe a middle of the road veteran. That's kind of the issue that we fell into in the past. We were overpaying for the middle of the road type of free agent to fill that role that a young player would normally fill. That 2020 draft really hurt us. Christian Darrisaw would be a blue chip player if we drafted him instead of Leatherwood. I'm gonna beat that one to the ground, dude. I'm sorry.
Christian, I didn't realize Hunter Renfrow was 26. Because when I first saw this list, I'm like, all right,
46.
I think, right? He's either like 19 or 46.
When he's wearing a hat, he's 19. Takes the hat off, he's 46.
46. Yeah. He's one of those dudes that has like the girl dad hat and like a pair of Skechers on, like cruising through Home Depot. 26.
He has the ankle sock, like the three-quarter socks.
So a couple camp notes that I want to get into.
Yeah.
We all know Max Crosby. He's the man. No doubt about it.
Cashed in, cha-ching.
But I'm from The Athletic. Pretty good little write-up. I think it's Tashawn Reed who wrote this. Speaking of Crosby, he's been seemingly unblockable during training camp. He's been lined up mostly as a defensive end, but also taking snaps at outside linebacker, hands out of the dirt. He looks every bit like an elite edge rusher, which has meant trial by fire for the offensive lineman. I repeat, seemingly unblockable. And it's so believable because you got the guy who led the NFL in pressures. Did he lead the NFL in pressures by the end of the season?
He did.
Yeah. If you lead the NFL in pressures, you're pretty goddamn unblockable.
Yeah. One of the things that you hear when people talk about Max Crosby is his motor does not stop. He's in the red every single freaking play. He's ramped it up all the way.
Whether the last play of the game, the first play of the game, a preseason game, the Pro Bowl. Like he's
going and going and going.
I bet he washes his dogs with like a headband on while like doing curls.
He's doing something, but his cardio is unbelievable. And I'll say it again. I love this saying, the standard is the standard. I'm not going to take it easy on you. If I have to embarrass you every single play during training camp to show you that you need to be better, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. That's how players get better. And that's how coaches get a true evaluation of players, is when everyone goes and gives it their best.
And half of me wants to kind of hit the brakes a little bit and say, like, yeah, well, he's going against Brandon Parker and Alex Leatherwood.
Not anymore.
Probably the case. But he's also going against Colt Miller. You know what I mean? Like, he's going against a good tackle every now and then. Still pretty unblockable.
When you call somebody unblockable, that means nobody's blocking.
Speaking of Max Crosby, speaking of a motor that never ends, the Raiders had the first practice scrum. I don't like the word scrum when I think of a fight. I like scuffle. I like scuffle better because scrum maybe feels like it's a rugby game broke out. Give me scuffle instead. First practice scrum of the McDaniels era when defensive end Max Crosby and offensive lineman Dylan Parham got into it during a drill. Not even like a live 11-on-11.
Mm-hmm.
A drill. Offensive defensive players got involved in a brief tussle. That's a little better. That followed before everyone was separated. It's pretty normal to see some fire between the trenches during padded practice, so it's no big deal. What's your take?
I agree 100%, man. It's no big deal. If we just talked about it right now, Max Crosby has an endless motor. It doesn't matter if it's a drill, if it's practice, if it's 7-on-7, 11-on-11. It doesn't matter what it is.
And that'll frustrate the hell out of a rookie lineman.
And you know what?
One play off.
If you're an alpha-minded player, even if you're a young player, you're not going to take it. You're not going to take that. You're going to say something. You're going to push back, maybe block a little bit after the whistle. Who knows? Because, you know, it's like almost like the stare down. When two fighters are staring each other down, nobody wants to look away first.
Yeah.
Well, if you're really going out, if you're having a good back and forth with a player on one-on-one drills, no one's going to want to be the first one to stop. I want that little edge on you. And no big deal. I'm good with this. I'm fine with this.
Yeah, I mean, well, one part of it I do kind of like is how there was, you know, a brief tussle. So I can imagine, like, the offensive players coming back Dylan, the defensive players came in back Max, right? They got each other's backs a little bit, kind of like, see that. The only reason I brought this up, only one, is if, let's say on the other end of the spectrum, this was a team where there's leaks all the time. The quarterback hates the center. The coach hates the defense. There's this backbiting, right? Let's say it's just like a dysfunctional franchise and everyone hates each other. I'd pay more attention to this because it could be a symptom of a bigger problem, right? It'd be a bigger deal if it were that kind of team.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, the second biggest deal is if it's a team exactly like the Raiders, where everything is kumbaya. Everyone loves each other, the best locker room ever. I will pay more attention to things like this. This by itself, I'm with you. Not a big deal. If we get 3, 4, or 5 more of these, then maybe, okay, maybe that very precious, like perfectly balanced locker room we've been talking about, maybe there's a crack in it here or there. something to look at. Again, one issue isn't a problem. Seven or eight of these, I'm like, oh, let's take a look at it.
Yeah, seven or eight is a lot. But if you have like four or five of these during the training camp, it all depends on what happens afterwards.
Yeah.
If they come up, if Crosby comes up to Parham afterwards, be like, hey man, good practice today. That's the fire we want to see. Like, and then it's over. If everyone has that, again, that foundation of respect, you know what? We got into it. It was heated. It happened, and it's over now. Let's move on. Then that's the reason why you want to have a locker room like ours is so you can have things like this happen and it not affect the team.
It doesn't linger, right? It doesn't fester. Yeah. It's just like, oh, I love you, bro. No big deal, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully no one got injured in that scuffle because a lot of guys weren't at practice on Monday. A lot of guys. Alex Bars, Brandon Parker, Nick Bowers, Darren Waller, Jacob Hollister, Clay Farrell, Devon Diablo, LeBlanc, Rock Ya-Sin, Anthony Averett, Ike Brown, Tyreek Gillespie.
You understand you call him Clay Farrell and it's Clee Farrell?
Call him whatever the hell he wants. He's going to be a free agent next year. That's
you call him Clay Farrell.
One, two, three, four, five, six. You know how terrible I am at pronunciations? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12 players missing.
Yeah,
Parker, we're hearing he's going to be on IR. That's still not really confirmed.
What, did he tear a tricep or something?
Waller's obviously got to pay attention to. Farrell, Diablo got to pay attention to. Ya-Sin definitely got to pay attention to. Gillespie Ya-Sin, hurts.
Averett, Gillespie, Diablo, those are big,
four
big
corners.
Guys.
Didn't play on. No wonder Carr's not throwing interceptions. All his cornerbacks aren't practicing.
He's freaking throwing to the guys that were watering the grass earlier in the day.
They got punters lining up at free safety because he's got no DBs.
Jesus.
No wonder.
Yeah, man, that's a lot. That's for five guys from the secondary. And Divine Diablo would be in doing 7-on-7s too. Oof.
Foster Moreau's certainly getting a lot of reps. Three tight ends are out.
Right. Yeah, right? He's getting in there. He's doing his business.
So, again, this is just – look, we're a month away, over a month away from week one. This is just missed practice Monday. And if you even kind of have something wrong with you, you know, they're – take caution, right, this early in the season. So, again, nothing crazy, but certainly something to pay attention to. Like, if Waller still hasn't practiced a week from now – problem. Diablo doesn't practice a week from now. Problem. Ya-Sin doesn't practice a week from now. Problem. But that cornerback room, like, that's the biggest question mark in the defense. And half the corners aren't practicing.
Yeah, that's concerning. That is definitely a concern. Plus, Mullins is out too, right?
Yep.
He hasn't been back yet. He's on pup list still. That's another corner.
This is even counting IR pup list guys. This is just not at practice that Tashaun Reeve Athletic just like didn't see.
Another thing that we're taking a look at, especially in the secondary, is these are all younger guys. Chandler Jones missed a few practices in a row, and it wasn't because he was really hurt. It's just kind of, you know, he's an old Patriot, and, you know, McDaniels, the way he runs his practice, he'll give the veterans, you know, a couple, you know, a practice off here.
You know your body. You know what you need.
Yeah,
I want to keep. You need to.
Yeah, I know. I know you know what you're doing. Let's just keep you fine tuned all the way until the season starts. But these are young guys that need to learn this secondary. That need to learn this complex secondary of Patrick Graham. So that's a little bit concerning. That's I think I was hoping that Lacey was a DV. He's like, oh, right? Shit, he's not a DV. Goddamn.
Do both his legs work? We'll sign him.
Yeah,
that's a rare.
Can he backpedal? Let's see.
Jeez, all right, one more note from training camp, and you love to see this. Derek Carr has looked.
What are you doing over here?
Derek Carr has looked really sharp throughout training camp. I haven't observed him throw any interceptions, and it's clear that his chemistry with the receiver Devontae Adams hasn't gone anywhere. Carr has already proven himself to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league, but it's still impressive to see how quickly he's adjusted to learning yet another new play caller and offensive scheme. Zero interceptions by Derek Carr in training camp. Clearly, all his turnover issues are behind him. Obviously, not going to be a problem. You're going to throw zero interceptions next season. I can't think of a better reason to be that confident in Derek Carr's accuracy next season.
I agree, man. It's nice to hear. I'm not putting too much into it because he's always been a training camp Hall of Famer. But some things are a little bit different now. We all know that he loves to throw to guys that he's comfortable to. He's not more comfortable with any person at receiver, any pass catcher in the league he's not more comfortable with than Davante Adams. Mm-hmm. And he has him on his team now. So now he has Waller,
who's cool with. His wife isn't as good of a receiver for him as Davante Adams.
And she's got four wide. He's not, she's maybe a little bit wider too, you know what I'm saying? So there's Waller.
That's our QB1's wife. Come on.
I'm giving her props, bro. You saw how comfortable Carr – shut up, man. I'm trying to say something here. How comfortable Carr and Hummer were at the end of last season, because he just kept feeding the ball over and over again, a ton of targets. And, you know, having Davante Adams, he's just take your pick, man. It's good to hear that the chemistry hasn't gone anywhere and they're just picking up where they left off. But ultimately, we have to see it when it counts.
Yeah, I know. You know, I was laying the sarcasm on pretty thick there, Soto, to start. But look, it's and it obviously doesn't count fumbles, right? Because you're wearing a red jersey.
Not right? Really hitting them, yeah.
You're not fumbling in the preseason, right? Or you know, preseason or training camp. So
you're not Geno Smith over here.
There's clearly that. But I got to imagine that has to be Josh McDaniels' number one priority with Derek Carr, right? Doesn't it have to be? Keep the turnovers down. That's got to be like number one, number two, number three, and number four on his list with Derek Carr, right?
I think as a head coach and offensive coordinator, I think that's always your number one, not just Derek Carr.
I disagree. I think there's a lot of quarterbacks that just aren't good and just can't run through reads or progressions or hit certain throws. Like there's bad quarterbacks that got a lot of problems. I mean, there's nothing more obvious. There's no bigger hole in Derek Carr's game than him losing the ball, right? And that's that has to make Josh McDaniels just like wake up in a cold sweat at night. Like turnovers? Again, we're trying to get away from this whole Patriot West thing, but like there's nothing less Patriot way than shooting yourself in the foot and dropping the ball on the turf.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I think every coach feels that way. You have to have the ball to score, so turnovers is going to be the main thing. But I think what he's more focused on than kind of like the obvious, which is don't turn the ball over, is getting Derek Carr comfortable. And with that level of comfort, he's going to be more careful with football because he knows where he's going. He knows his reads. He knows the scheme and what they're trying to do. On Good Morning Football this morning, they were talking about how it's no longer Patriots West anymore. It's just not. Because Josh McDaniels is just doing his own thing. He's being his own man. He's not trying to be a mini Bill Belichick anymore. Still, you know, accountability and, you know, the standard to standard and all that stuff.
And it's not a clean slate like a lot of shittier franchises, right? Like, it's a playoff team.
Right? Well, yeah.
You don't want to tear it completely down.
Sure. And so reports are that McDaniels is doing things his way. He's not trying to copy anybody else. Being himself. He's having conversations with guys during, you know, a training table. He's talking to them about life and kids and different things. And he's able to do that now when he wasn't able to do that, 10, 11 years ago, when he didn't have kids and he wasn't married. I don't think he was, at least. But now he's, you know, got some more in common with some of the older veteran players. He's still be able to relate to some of the younger guys. And he's taking the opportunity to, you know, talk to him and get to know him a little bit better that way. Something that I don't think Bill Belichick does.
Yeah, he's not younger than like 20 or so of his players like he was last time he was a head coach.
Right.
You ready to do some what up win pegs?
You know I am.
London Raider. Notice the name. London Raider. Hint of an English accent there, Rory. I love this.
First off, there's no motherfucking... His accent is about as subtle as a hammer to the face.
Well, this is what I'm saying is... His accent, because he's been in America so long that the English don't recognize his accent. But because he was born in England and in America, we don't recognize his accent. Like, he belongs nowhere.
He's a man with no country.
He's a man with no soul. And no accent that anyone can recognize. When London Raider is like, is that an English or a hint or an English accent I'm hearing? It's like,
London Raider, where have you been? We've been talking about, we always make fun of that limey bastard, Rory. We always talk about him like that. So I don't know. Yes, he was born in England.
We've gotten a ton of new subscribers in the last like 2 or 3 months, and so it's fun watching this new breed of subscriber get to know Rory.
Real,
yeah. Like this guy exists. Like, oh yeah, yeah. There's a whole new crop that you learn about Rory in your own way. It's like the Beatles, right? Every generation learns about the Beatles. Every generation of subscriber to the Autumn Windbags eventually learns about Rory in their own.
Wait till we get with Rory's Grinders.
Oh man,
hey, yo, they call me D Nice. They call me D-Nice.
D-Nice 41. Love it. D-Nice 41. This is talking about Ndamukong Suh. There's no guarantee he'll be available when you need him to be. So the Ndamukong Suh thing is still kind of floating around, right? We keep getting injuries to defensive tackle. Ndamukong Suh's floating around. We've been rumored to be interested. But I see no reason why the Raiders shouldn't hold serve on Ndamukong Suh right now. And the reason I feel like they are is because Suh is trying to get more money, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we would hear, it would be leaked if teams were knocking down the door to get Ndamukong Suh. It's not happening.
Yeah, he's not going to have a lot of suitors right now because, honestly, I think that he wants to be on a winning franchise a little bit more than you're saying he wants to be on a winning franchise. I think I totally
don't think it's a big deal. I know you do.
I don't think it's a huge deal. I think it has something to go into it. I think those Lions years kind of scarred him a little bit where he's like, I'm not going to just come back and freaking play for this rotten ass teams. Right. And also those teams aren't going to give a lot of money up for an older aging, you know, defensive tackle either. So it kind of works hand in hand. But I think after this first game, we'll see something heat up a little bit more for him because unfortunately there's going to be, now that everyone's playing games now, not only that, but you're also usually before the first week, you're going to get those inter-team practices or intra-team practices where you go, you practice with the team for a couple of days and then you play them on the weekend.
Inter-team is when they're transitioning. An intra-team is pre-op.
Gotcha.
Come on. It's 2022. Let's not be problematic here. So, come on. GS Music 2009. This is a comment on the Hunter Renfro video the short that we did that got a bajillion views about how he went his own way. That's always been my problem with John Gruden. As he got older, he got more into set ways. Glad Hunter did his thing. Make folks know you know what the fuck you're doing and there's a reason why you were on the shiz. Did Gruden get more stubborn with age? I don't remember his first stint with the Raiders and that being part of the narrative. Is that he was this is how I do things or kick rocks. I don't remember.
No, it was. Okay. And that's part of the reason why him and Gannon were having those screaming matches on the sidelines. Because he was like, no, we're doing it this way. And Gannon's like, dude, you're missing shit. We can do this, we can do that. And Gruden's like, this is the game plan, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I think early in his career, Gruden was described as being organized. He's much more organized. He's much more like prepared. But as he got older, I think it kind of got into more of an ego thing where it's like, okay, we're doing things my way because I'm John Gruden and you're not, type of thing.
Yeah.
But it goes to show you, I mean, Gruden doesn't know everything. He knows a lot, but it's not always about football. It's about people. How do you handle people? How do you handle situations, right?
I also think this is another good example of how like winning is the best deodorant. Like no one's calling someone who's going to the AFC Championship game every single season like stubborn and it's hurting the team, right? Like when the Raiders were kicking ass with John Gruden late 90s, early 2000s, it was, yeah, Gruden's hard-nosed, you know, he wants to win. He's got a desire. Now that he coached a bunch of losing seasons, he's stubborn. He's holding the team back. When it could be exactly the same thing. He could have been the exact same guy, but because the results changed, the narrative changed. Again, I was still a teenager during that when the Raiders were, you know, that first Gruden era. So I didn't have my finger on the pulse of like his personality the way I do now. But that wouldn't surprise me if he was basically the same guy, but the results changed. So the narrative changed.
Well, also when results aren't what you want and you don't change, you're not fluid enough to change to get better results. Mm. That's a huge problem too.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for us. Short show today, but we hit on a lot of stuff. 10 different topics, bunch of audio.
We're here to hit it and quit it.
Right? We're older now. We're not going all night. Just getting the job done.
You get 3 minutes, homie.
Yeah.
You get 3 minutes.
Brad, I hope you call your girl homie. That would be
call her homegirl all the time. When I talk to you about her, like, hey, my homegirl and I went out, hung out yesterday.
So we'll have some new shorts out. We'll post some of the highlights on YouTube, as we always do, if you're listening on the podcast. And then we'll get the British boy Rory more involved as the season wears on, as the preseason wears on. So keep doing post-game shows for preseason and our regular shows every Wednesday night, coming out Thursday as well.
Yes, sir.
Until then, knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Auto Windbags. We really appreciate it. Make sure you give us a follow on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the good places. And if you haven't already, subscribe to us on YouTube with so much bonus content on the tube. Until next time, later.